Well, good morning.
Morning, Barry.
Morning, Barry.
My name's Barry. I think probably most of you know my name if you don't know me. And if I haven't said hello to you before, hello, those of you who haven't said hello. Oh, I know that's Henry over there. No. Most people call him Paul, I think, but I call him whatever comes out. So I've got a question. It's a week now. It's a week since Easter. And what was it like for you? What was Easter like for you? A lot of you were working.
Yeah.
Forget about. What was Easter like? What was Easter like for you? Was it good?
Yeah.
Good. Lots of Easter eggs. Italian Easter eggs. No. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. What was this? Can I ask you a question? I want you to be involved this morning. You can sleep a little bit later, but just stay awake for a moment or two. Can I ask this question? What were you celebrating a week ago? Okay, I'll be more specific. I've stopped playing games. What was the significance for you last week during Easter? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What was the significance for you? Think about it. I'm going to pick on somebody, and I'm going to make you come to the front and stand in your head. No. So,
the risen Lord.
The risen Lord. Hey, that's pretty good. Yes. So anybody else? What significance for you? Yes, I caught your eye.
Jesus.
Okay. Yes. Why particularly Jesus at Easter?
Because he died. He rose again.
Oh, good, good. He died and he rose again. That's anyone else can better that. Why did nobody say bunny rabbits and chickens and things like that? But no, isn't that great? That's great that a week ago we were celebrating that Jesus died and rose again. And let's continue doing that. Let's continue celebrating that Jesus died and rose again. What was the effect of Jesus doing that? What was the effect? What was the result? Why did he do that? He did it in order that the gap between us and this amazing Creator God that we've been singing about this morning, this holy, awesome God, could be bridged. That's the significance, isn't it, behind the death. You're right. It wasn't Easter eggs and it wasn't bunnies. The significance of it was that Jesus was doing something in his death and resurrection which introduced us to this sort of God, the God of creation. You can say awesome, or you can get a little bit excited about that. You can sort of jump up and down and say, wow, that is truly, truly earth-shattering and amazing. That we might be right with God on the basis of what Jesus did, if we accept him on his terms, not our own. I'd like to read a couple of verses, if I may, from 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to, I know that it's holiday time and our attention span is short, so I'm going to keep it short, just a couple of verses from 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. John, towards the end of his life, is excited about this, and he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him when he was here. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Beloved ones, the ones that are loved, We are God's children. Now, this is the significance. This is the effect of the significance. This is the effect of what Jesus did. We're celebrating a week ago. And we're celebrating on every Sunday of the week, the day of resurrection. We're celebrating the significance that Jesus has made us his kids. He has made us his children. And wow. I was brought up as a Christian from my earliest days, and I've always known that. Maybe the same for you. If you're already a follower of Jesus, what we've read this morning or what I'm saying comes as no great surprise. Eh? The effect of what Jesus has done is that actually he's taken it into a dramatic direction. When he made us his kids, he changed our identity. When he made us his son and his daughter, when we responded to him, he made us a son, a child, but he changed the very heart and the very basis of the person that I am and the person that you are. If you don't know me, you'll have worked this one out from the posh way that I speak, because I'm a southerner, basically. Not a southwesterner, I'm sorry. I am by acclimatization, but originally southwest. I'm British. Sometimes I'm proud of it. Sometimes I'm not. But my identity is as a Brit. My Britishness affects everything about me. Not just because I speak proper, because they all do in Surrey, mate. They all talk like this, sort of posh, like what I do. Right. And my Britishness affects everything. It affects the way I think, the way I feel, the way that I respond to politicians, the way that I just love Lyons made ice cream, the way that I can't stand cricket. And as for football, oh, please, we didn't play football at my school. We played all sorts of other tricks. I'm British, and it affects everything. My identity is as a Brit. Whatever nationality you are, and we've got several nationalities here today, that your identity is affected by your nationality, where you were brought up. It affects everything. There was a time, it was a couple of decades ago, when this was really impressed upon me, the significance of my Britishness. When we were a family of four, we moved from We moved from Truro as a family, and we went to live in the United States for a few years. And it was strongly impressed upon me then that they're different. They're different. They were different about everything. In those days, a couple of decades ago, don't look to the left, anybody. We're not going to pick on Mrs. Sampson. It's all right, I'm not picking on anybody. But what impressed me at that time, this was a couple of decades ago, I won't tell you which decade it was, but we had young children at that time, relatively young teenagers. The number of fast food shops, the number of restaurants that we could go and eat and get fat, you know, a million and one different places, the issues were choice. And the way they talked, the language, we lived in a very urban part of the States, and the language was, amongst the Christians, was very fruity. It was, excuse me, we're Christians. Everything, attitudes to everything. Identity counts. And we adapted to that identity. And one son, when he went to junior high, decided that he was going to the oldest son, he would blend. He lost his Britishness overnight, and he sp- spoke like them, walked like them, and in those days wanted Nikes like everybody else. But my other son decided, and this was elementary school, going into junior high, he decided, I'm British, I'm going to stay British. Identity. Our identity has changed when we were made children of God. It doesn't matter what your identity is, in what your nationhood, your nationality. It doesn't matter, because this God says, when I make you my child, I'm going to make you after me. So, what Jesus did in this identity change, I'd like to unwrap a little bit. And I'm not going to quote lots of Bible verses this morning because there isn't time, but I'd like to highlight a couple of aspects of this identity change. And this is the first one. Jesus came and he introduced his children to his Father. This identity change was to affect everything. And he didn't just die that we might know God, but that we might know his Father personally, that we might have a personal relationship with his Father. Now, again, as Christians, we know the words. If you're a follower of Jesus, this one thing is the most amazing thing that we should be excited about, and we should get more and more and more and more excited about. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you're still on the edge, you're looking in, then if I was to say anything to you, Jesus is worth considering for you seriously for this one thing, that he, Jesus, wants to introduce you to his Father personally. A personal introduction to his Father. Because, interestingly, as Andrew finished off our time of worshipping Jesus and the Father, he read the passage from Hebrews chapter 1, when the writer to Hebrews said that this Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. When we see Jesus, when we see what Jesus said, we hear about it, and we meet this Jesus through the Gospels and hear about him and the testimony of those that are around at that time, when we see this Jesus, we see exactly what and who the Father is like. He's the exact reflection of the Father. I haven't said anything you disagree with so far. Anything that you don't know about so far. Just a word of my testimony, and the reason I'm going here is because it was probably I've walked with Jesus for about probably a number of years, 50 or something like that years. And I'm shocked that it was well, several decades into that, that something that I knew all about began to open up. And it was something that God was doing. It was in the air that God was doing. He was beginning to say, wait a minute, this my fatherhood for you. It's more to it than you think. And bit by bit, to my shame, I say that over the years, it feels like this has come alive more and more and more. The significance of Abba Father, he's my dad, I've got even more excited about his fatherhood of me, of Barry. I've got more excited the fact that this is personal. It's not just knowing about him. It's not just discovering all that can mean, but what it can mean for me. I've got a question for you. What is the potential or the actual of you knowing this God as your father mean to you? Could I ask you, can you honestly say, are you beginning to experience what it is to know this father personally? Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to change our identity so that we would know him personally. The disciples lived with him for 3 years, this Jesus. The disciples heard what he said. They saw what he did. But it wasn't just that. We read the Gospels and we read them again. It's not just the details. These guys were changed by Jesus. They were changed by their personal relationship with Jesus. Nothing short of that is going to satisfy me, and nothing short of that is going to satisfy you, because that's what's on offer. That's the significance. That's the effect of what Jesus did on the cross, which we celebrate a week ago, that we would know the Father personally. My relationship with God has changed because of Jesus. It's changed so that now I can talk about and get a feel and stand before you this morning and talk about the fatherhood of God, because my relationship with him has changed. Dad! Woohoo! Unfortunately, the downside is that if I was to ask you this question, which I'm not going to ask this question, what does fatherhood mean to you? For many of us, the picture of our father and fatherhood leaves a little bit to be desired. For many of us, our father was absent. For many of us, our father was maybe sometimes abusive, sometimes controlling. At best, for many of us, our father was not the best. Our experience of fatherhood was not good. And for many of us, the model that we have for fatherhood has left us disappointed. Disappointed in our father and having low expectations. So when we come to what we're talking about this morning, the fatherhood of God, we can't relate to it. The way we relate to it is in the sense of, I'm not quite so sure. That's not something that I would actually want to aspire to knowing. I understand why, and looking back, I can read into it, but that was my experience of my father. My relationship with my father was difficult. I don't remember my father. He's not alive now. He was a follower of Jesus when he was 16. And I know that he loved me, but I don't remember him ever telling me that he loved me. My dad supported me, and yeah, I know that he cared for me, but those words coming from my father were not something I don't remember it. I would have remembered it. But I understand when he was 16, looking back, I can say this, when he was 16, his father died. I know nothing about my grandfather. Absolutely nothing. Never heard him even mentioned. It was a difficult time. His father died when my father was 16 from a cerebral aneurysm. He died quickly. And probably the stress that caused it. 3 years before, his brother had jumped under a train at Wimbledon Station. Took his life because of the crash that had taken place, and the business had been lost. And my father had to then go out to work, give up his hopes and dreams, go out to work and support his mother and his sister, because there was no benefit in those days, the 1930s. And then he went. I understand that his father and fatherhood in a proper family was influenced by the Victorians. I understand that. And then it was only recently that I realized, my brother told me this, my older brother, who hadn't even met his dad until he was at least 3 years old, because my father had joined up just at the beginning of the war and had been all over the place and was on day one of D-Day, landing in Normandy, survived. Survived the Fallujah bulge when the British forces were constrained and kept down, almost destroyed by the Germans, but they broke through in the end after months. And the people that what he would have experienced and seen, never talked about. And then he got stuck in India, literally stuck. The war ended completely, but he'd been seconded to the Indian police force, and he got stuck there for another nine months after the war ended. And then he finally came back to England and met my brother for the first time when he was three. And I came along a couple of years later. I can understand what my father was having to carry. And I can understand that maybe your experience of fatherhood is maybe not dissimilar. Maybe there wasn't a war in your case, but the reasons why should we be enthusiastic about fatherhood when there's a great big gap inside of us? The good news about the fatherhood of this God is that when we step over the line and become his children, he starts to remodel and shape our vision and our expectation for what fatherhood can be because of what we're beginning to experience about the fatherhood of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My vision and my heart, my expectations now are completely different because of what he's remodeled into me. And I've explored and I've discovered things that are absolutely crazy. This father knows me. He knows Barry inside out. He could probably pronounce my name backwards. He knows everything about me. He knows, do you know, this God knows every thought I think. He knows exactly what's, this is crucial. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what my motivators. He knows that all this rubbish comes out, but inside he sees exactly what is there. And he sees the potential for what, he sees the little gem that's actually in Barry, despite all the gunge and the rubbish. He knows me. And despite everything, he knows what I can become as I discover him touching and affecting my life. Wholeheartedly, I want to say it is so good to be known. It's so good to be known. It's so good to be known exactly as I am, warts and all. And yeah, I think I want to say this. Oh no, this is ridiculous. No, this is stupid. Despite number four, he accepts me unconditionally. Totally and completely unconditionally. So if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I nearly said a naughty word. If I was in America, it would be fine. You don't know the one I'm saying? Yes, you probably do. But I'm not going to say, despite all the rubbish of me, despite all the bad of me, which he knows about and he sees through me like a light through a clear plane of glass, my motives, and all the things I've said and I've done, he knows that when I was maybe nine, that I stole a Mars bar from the village newspaper shop in Ashford, Kent. Ashted, sorry. He knows that. Nobody else knows. Don't tell anyone, would you? I've never told anybody. I stole a Mars bar. But fortunately, it was Wednesday. Oh, my salvation. There was a whatever like that in the newspaper shop. in the village. And then there was a space there, and the guy wasn't looking. It was around the corner. I knew he was. There's my spouse. I think there were 4p at that, 4p at that time, never mind. And I went home with the Mars bar, and you'll never guess what I did with it. I ate it. When I got home, life was normal. It was Wednesday. Hi, Granny. Hi, Grandma. Grandma was there. Oh, no, she's just gone. The phone rang. I can even remember the phone number. And can I speak to your parents, please? Oh, no, I'm afraid they're out. They were. They're out at the moment. Can I help you? Or something like that. And he said, yes, you. I think there's something you didn't pay for today. Oh, yes, I did. I'm sure. I put it on the middle of the counter. There was an ice cream, old ice cream thing they sold ice creams out of, and it was like that. I put it on the counter, or the ice cream, whatever. Oh, so I said, I'll tell you what, I'll, maybe it dropped on the floor. I'll come and have a look. Maybe it's there. Grandma had been there Wednesday. She always gave me sixpence. She'd left it for me. I took the sixpence, put it in my pocket, went down there. Said, oh, all totally innocent looking. Yeah, right. Red to the roots. Well, I did. Had red hair as well. And I had a look underneath, and I just happened to have that sixpence in my eyes. Oh, here it is under there. Here we are. Here's the money. Keep the change. The shame I felt. But you see, that was the expression of something. That was the expression, which is part of Barry, that I could do that, despite supposedly being a follower of Jesus, even in those days. Unconditionally. He didn't say bothered. He said, I can see past that. Because my son, I know Jesus died in your place so that that would not be an issue. I know you. Therefore, I can love you unconditionally. I will accept you, Barry, whether you... And this is it. He accepts us before we're a Christian, and we make this commitment to him, and we accept Jesus. The staggering thing is that he accepts us afterwards as well. Even as Christians, he accepts us unconditionally. He doesn't say, uh-oh, I was there and I saw you when you did that thing and thought that thing. I know the attitude of your heart. Repent and sort it out. He loves me. He loves you unconditionally, whether you're a follower of his or not. And it doesn't matter how much we know and how much we have matured as a Christian, he still accepts us unconditionally. Isn't that amazing, Andrew? He accepts Andrew unconditionally, and as much as Jane and Hilda, and Gertrude, and every one of us. This is amazing love. If there were time, I would talk about the prodigal son, Luke 15. But there's not. Jesus demonstrates through that parable, that story, the prodigal love of the Father, the profligate love of the Father, the unconditional love of the Father, that when the guy has screwed up big time, he was there running for him. When I fall and I do and I even think, he comes running to me and says, let me help you up. Let's go on from here. What's the result of that? Oh, I can worship and pray. I can praise you and worship you with all of my heart because, wow, that you would know me, everything about me, and you would accept me. This is fatherhood. This is what it is to be my dad. And he loves me. He loves me. By this we know love, John says in later on in verse 16 of this letter. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. This is the love that this is demonstrated. Jesus laid down his life for me to demonstrate that he, Jesus, and the Father really love me. Indeed, not just in when I'm a good boy stuff. Oh, awesome. Awesome. And that's why John has got it. He's got it. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that we are now. We're it now. And it's what's the nature of this? It's the Father's love. Oh, he's got such big arms. Such big arms that he doesn't stop there, but he's committed to changing me. He's committed to changing me, and the way that my Father has been changing me is he there's not time out, so I'd use Andrew, but no. Bo, come here. Yeah, he's writing. Come here. Do you know, this is Bo. If you don't know Bo, he's Bo, and that's French for fine. He's good, he's good looking, he's fine. But he's also sometimes a screw up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Sometimes he's worse than that. And do we believe in words of knowledge?
Yeah.
We do. No, I won't, not now, no. This guy screws up, and the way that he changes is changing Bo, and I believe this, and I've seen that in this guy, even though I've only seen him a little bit from the outside. He comes to this guy, Bo, and he... It'd be easy to do it like this, but no, he actually doesn't do it like that. He comes like this. The Father comes to Bo with his arms like this. When Bo screws up, messes up, and he's disappointed in his heart because he knows he's messed up. And the Father comes to him, and he does this. He looks him in the eye. He looks at Bo in the eye. And out of his eyes... there's something written which connects. And it's the Father's heart, and it comes to Bo. And he demonstrates, and he looks like this. My son. My son. My son. And he breaks his heart. He breaks his heart again that the Father comes, puts his arm around me, and is changed because of the Father's... He nurtures us as his dad. And he doesn't... I'd like to keep you there, because you're nice and warm. He's so cuddly. He's so... Come on, you may sit down. He's so cuddly. My dad gets emotional over me. He gets emotional over me. I lived under the disapproval. I always felt everything. To my dying day, I felt my dad disapproved. I know he didn't, but that's what I felt, disapproval. Your heavenly Father comes to you and he looks you in the eyes when you're down and you're broken. And instead of correcting you, he comes to you as he comes to me, and he nurtures me. He helps me. He comes and touches me, and he causes me to know that this is real in my head. I see it in his eye, and I see it, and I feel it, and I know it, because this Heavenly Father is not just a textbook that we read. He's introduced to me personally, and he works it out personally. I want to be different. I want to be different. It's not because I have to or I must, but I want to. He's wooed me and he's won me by the way that he knows me. He accepts me as I am, and he demonstrates his love towards me by changing me. Should I tell you something that you don't know, but I'm going to tell you, so I guarantee you don't know this one. I'm so pleased for you. Not you, John and Rose. But the rest of you, I'm so pleased for you. And the reason I'm pleased is because you didn't know me what I was like in the past. Unfortunately, they did. We're not having testimonies now as to the veracity of what I'm saying. Bless them. They've been very gracious, and hopefully they can bear testimony to the fact that my Father's changed me. I know, yes, it's true. And he hasn't finished yet. While I'm still on this earth, he's still nurturing and changing me because he loves me. And sometimes he gets a glimpse of, and he says, attaboy! Yes! Barry's finally beginning to discover a little bit of what it is to be my son. And it's not what I didn't create him and bring it. I haven't been working all this just for what he will do and what he will achieve, which he feels he has to achieve because his dad drove that into him unwittingly, but because of who he's becoming, who he is now. I've got a long way to go. If anyone knows me a little bit, you'll know I've got a long way to go. But I've got good news for you. I've got good news for you, if you know me. He's still on the case. I've got good news for you. He's on your case. But he's on your case because he knows you. He accepts you unconditionally. He loves you in a way that all the relations that you've got in the world couldn't make up the love that he loves. And he is changing you from one degree of woo-hee, glory to another degree of glory. Now, that doesn't mean that he's growing the wings. It doesn't mean that he's giving you this woo-hoo, otherworldly glow. This doesn't mean that he's turning you into some sort of super saint. It means he's warming and touching your heart, so that's going to be different. And that affects everything else that comes out of us. The more he makes us sweet, the more that sweetness comes out. And it's not because we're good, it's because he's awesome. Could I ask you a very personal question? He has made himself knowable. You can know him. You can know him more. You can know more about his activity in your life. He wants to set you free in areas that you're bound, areas that are limitations, areas of your heart that are areas of your head that are areas of your physical body that's He's knowable, and he wants to make himself known more to me and to you. Maybe for the first time that you would actually know him in a personal way. But maybe there's more in the journey he's got for you. Are you willing? Do you want to know your dad more? The dad that is actually yours? Do you want to know him more personally? Unconditionally, more of his love, his tenderness. For most of us, it's his tenderness we need. When we're broken and feel broken, there's nothing like the tenderness of our Father who comes to us. And he doesn't just say, oh, there, it'll be all right. He comes and makes the difference. He comes and makes the difference. Will you stand with me, please? And we'll just pray, okay? We won't sing at the end. We'll just can we pray together? If I lead out in prayer, and if there's anything that resonates in you, if you'd just inside say, yeah, amen. Yeah, that's me. That's what I want. If God's giving you something specific to share with the rest of us, then just come to the front and just mention that to Andrew. And then, if it's appropriate, we can share it. If you want to make a response and make it known this morning as things that you just need to talk to someone, then come and speak to Andrew or your group leader, or come and speak to myself if you wish. Let's pray together. Father, our Father, who is in heaven, you're amazing. We've sung it this morning. We've declared it this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to call you Father because of what Jesus has done. Father, we thank you that we can address you as such because of the way that you accept us. What we've been talking about this morning. Lord God, would you please send your Holy Spirit to do a special work in each one of us, that we will want to know you more, that we will want to be vulnerable to your unconditional love more than we've ever experienced it before. Lord God, would you come, send your Holy Spirit. Thank you that he's the one that makes the difference. He makes Jesus real. He makes the Father real. That it's not by studying the Bible, but it's actually you bring revelation to us. Would you come and to each one of us here that is saying, yes, I want more of you. I want to know you more. I want you to come into areas of my life that I don't even know myself. If you're saying that this morning, he's answering that right now. He's responding to you right now. Guaranteed. Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, King of Kings, would you come and minister to us right now? Would you touch us and start a new process? Give us an appetite more for all that your fatherhood means. Would you break us open? Would you open us up? And would you come? Would you come, Holy Spirit, and with you, would you come and change us today? Change us this week. Transform us more into the image of your Son, Jesus, this week. Father, we ask because we want Jesus to be glorified in us. We want to know the Father better. We want to know him more. We want to know him unconditionally and without limits. Holy Spirit, will you come and make the Father real to us? We need you. We need you. Amen.
Would you like to take your seats? Let's just read those wonderful words again from John's letter. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Barry, thank you so much for that. And just off the back of what Barry's been praying for us, I want to pray also, Father, that the encouragement and the challenge of the message that's been brought to us this morning from that wonderful passage in 1 John 3 would continue to resonate in our hearts and minds as we go from this place. Lord, would you impress it deep upon us that we might live our lives in the light of that wonderful truth that you wish to embrace us as your children. Amen.